Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you and praise you for another opportunity, Lord God, to assemble ourselves together to feast, Lord God, on your word concerning prayer. We do thank you, Lord God, for this privilege that you have given unto us to fellowship with you, to spend time with you, Lord God, where we can hear and know and understand how to live this Christian life victoriously. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. How many second-year students do we have? Oh, I saw that one went up. Okay, all right. Very good, very good. I had the opportunity to see most of you last week during the, we still call it the Minister's Conference, LTMA Impartation Conference. There were a few of you I saw for almost every service. I mean, that was great. That was just great. I also had the opportunity to meet some of our online students because they do come for some of the conferences. And so that was really good also. I got to thinking, you know, during this period, we've had an extended period off. We had the holiday break. And even though we weren't off last week, we weren't in class. But, you know, I got to thinking about prayer. We know and we've learned that the enemy does not want us to pray. You know, we know that. We know that our body does not want us to pray. Amen. And so, you know, we have to put forth that extra effort. But the more I thought about it, you know, I said, you know, honestly, this is one of the most important classes in this school. Because what you're going to be learning in this class is going to help you in all the other classes. You dare not go to apostles' class if you have not prayed. And the reason is because he spends so much time in prayer, and God is revealing to him so much for you. Amen? In order for you to be able to receive what God is giving to him for you, you must be prayed up. Otherwise, when he begins to minister to you in the class, it's going to go over your head. Amen? How do they say, the flesh is weak, isn't it? How does it go? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, y'all know it. Amen. Thank y'all so much. I mean, you want it. I mean, you want it. So the only thing that I'm going to continue to encourage you to do is to pray. If you had any opportunity to be in the conference last week, I mean, Apostle spent the entire mornings teaching on praying in the Spirit. Amen. Praying in the Spirit. And all I can do is just encourage you as students in this school, spend time praying in the Spirit. He has shared with us, and it's on the billboard, 2015. It's the year of, I think it's supernatural transformation. Supernatural transformation. Those of us who have the opportunity to be here for the LTMA Impartation Conference, I can tell you, we were not the same. You know, we went to that conference one way, but we left another way. I mean, we were just built up. I mean, I felt so strong. You know, I was just ready to just go ahead on and just walk on out there. And you got to spend time in prayer. In this class, we're learning how to pray effectively. Don't forget what you learned the first semester. You know, what prayer is. What's the purpose of prayer? And we talked about communion, okay? We're going to try very, very hard. For some reason, this fourth chapter, Biblical Principles for Effective Prayer, it's taken us a while to get through this. I mean, it's a lot in there. That's number one. It's a lot of information in there. It's talking about the Father. It's talking about Jesus. I had the opportunity to share with you some of the names of God. Remember that? I gave y'all what El Shaddai and Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Jireh. Did I give y'all Adonai? A-D-O-N-A-I, yeah. That was one that Apostle gave us, meaning master and ruler. And he really got us, you know. He said, yeah, if I ask you, you know, is he your ruler, you're going to say, yeah, but is he really? You know, and it got us to thinking, you know, some of the things he started to say to us. Just let's see, quick review. We talked about praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. We talked about who the Father is. And remember, we talked about I am. When God said, I am that I am. And then we looked at that over, I think it was over in Exodus. Like I said, the names. And I think we probably ended somewhere around me saying, God's name is holy. This is according to your author. He says, his name is holy. So much so that his name cannot be used in vain. See, those old people used to tell us that. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. And why? Because his name is holy. And so you don't want to use it in vain. This is the reason Jesus prayed in the Our Father prayer, hallowed be thy name. First, he teaches us to pray to the Father in his name. That's what Jesus said. You know, go to the Father in my name. And whatever you ask him, amen, he'll do it. We'll look at some of those scriptures in a minute. And then second, he tells us to sanctify his name before going ahead with the prayer. And we talked about the Lord's Prayer was written as a model to follow when we pray. It's a model. Amen? It's nothing wrong with praying it, but just always remember it's a model. Then we said the name of Jesus is exalted. That's also in chapter 4. In the New Testament, God deposits his power and authority into one name. And all of those names that we talked about that were in the Old Testament, that these were names that God put all of that into the name of Jesus. Amen? He says, all those names that's found in the Old Testament, God also placed in one name, the name of Jesus. Amen? So when we pray, we want to use the name of Jesus. Turn to Philippians 2 and 9. We're going to look at some scriptures tonight. Philippians chapter 2. Our author went on to say, everything in heaven and on earth has a name, but the name of Jesus is above them all. Amen. Think about some of the things that you may be dealing with. Think about some of those things that, you know, you may be a little bit fearful of. The name of Jesus is above it all. Hallelujah. So when you use that name, and we're going to talk about faith in that name, then always remember that the authority over that thing is in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2 and 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, talking about hell. Amen. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? So the name of Jesus is exalted. I don't know if we began to touch on this before. We says, what does the name of Jesus mean? And originally it was like a Hebrew name, Yeshua, J-E-S-H-U-A, which means Jehovah is salvation. And, you know, if you pay close attention tonight, Apostle talked about salvation and what that salvation means. The Greek word for salvation, you will see this again, soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A, S-O-T-E-R-I-A, soteria. And it means, according to our authors, very, very similar to what Apostle said tonight, salvation, healing, deliverance, protection, prosperity, look at that, strength, and security. These words represent who he is, the living God. Now, this was something, huh? The living God who lives in the eternal present. Isn't that something? That sounds like now, right? Sound like now. It's always now as far as God is concerned. It is always now. It is never wait. It is never tomorrow. It is eternal present. As his name, I am that I am. Eternal present. Glory to God. When the name of Jesus is pronounced or said with faith, it produces power because the fullness of the inheritance now in heaven is under the name. Amen. The fullness of the inheritance now in heaven is under the name of Jesus. The reason why the name of Jesus has so much power and authority is because he is God. Hallelujah. He is God. When we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus himself was praying and asking. Glory to God. So when we say in the name of Jesus, you know what God hears Jesus. He doesn't hear you and he doesn't hear me. He hears Jesus because we use the name of Jesus. Why did God name his son Jesus? Look at that, huh? Your author says, Jesus received his name because he humbled himself. He took the form of a servant and was obedient unto death. Let's look at Philippians. You're already in 2. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus received his name because he humbled himself. I mean, here was God, you know. God came down in the flesh, you know, in the form of Jesus Christ. And what he did, he humbled himself as a servant. Glory to God. And so his name is Jesus. Jesus inherited his name. Over in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Let's look at it. Well, I'm going to start at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, amen, Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, amen. So Jesus inherited his name. Jesus received his name because he was triumphant, amen. Glory to God, he was triumphant. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15. Let's look at it. I have y'all working a little bit tonight. Just a little bit. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And it reads, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Isn't that something? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And how did he triumph over them? He got up. Hallelujah. He got up. They thought they had him. They thought they had him. When they nailed him to the cross, they said, this is it. We got him now. But God, amen, raised him from the dead. And as a result of his crucifixion, his burial, and his ascension, he made a show of them openly. And because he made a show, hallelujah, we can make a show. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy slaps you upside your head. He think he got you. He always think he got us. Amen. But when we know how to pray, and we know how to pray effectively, and we know how to use the name of Jesus, and we understand how much power and how much authority is in that name, then we can make a show of him openly. Always giving all the glory and all the honor to God for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we can look at Matthew 28. I'll just read it. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. He was on his way back up to heaven. And then he just reminded us. And then he said what? When he said all power is given unto me, then he commissioned us. He said, now go ye. Why? Because all power, hallelujah, has been given unto me. Amen. How can we apply the name of Jesus during prayer? Let's go to John 14. The name of Jesus in prayer. That's the main thing I want you to remember. The name of Jesus in prayer. We're going to get through this chapter. May not be tonight, but we're going to get through this chapter. John 14, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, look what he said here. Look, he said, I will do it. Amen. I will do it. Now, we got to keep in mind now, what you're asking has to be in line with the word of God. Amen. It's always. And I guess I haven't said that. I guess I've just assumed everybody understood this. But in order to pray effectively, you have to be acquainted with the word of God. Amen. Because otherwise, you'll be asking for things that's not in accordance with God's word. Amen. So you must take time, become acquainted with God's word, become acquainted with God's promises. And what it does is it increases your faith. I mean, because that's where your faith coming from. Faith cometh. You know, it's coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. If you don't spend time in the word, then you'll be around here, you know, hoping and praying and guessing and saying, if it be thy will. The more time you spend in the word of God, the more you begin to understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Either by precept, by what's written, or by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You can know the will of God for your lives, no matter what. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that was John 14, 13, and 14. Every time the Father answers our prayer, he is presenting what slash who Jesus is. He's presenting all that I am. Jesus becomes everything we need at the moment that we need it. Amen. Everything that we need at the moment that we need it. There is authority in God's name. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. Turn to Acts 4 and 12. Hallelujah. Acts 4 and 12. And we said authority in God's name. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. In the name. of Jesus. There is healing in the name. Look at that. So we got salvation, we got authority in the name, and now we're going to look at healing in the name. You're right there in Acts, that's chapter 3. Let's look at verse 16. Hallelujah. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yeah, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, you know, you're talking about that lame man, amen? And they were going into the temple, and they said, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, rise up and walk. Hallelujah, and that man got up. He got up, and all they did was say, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. There is deliverance, as I said, in the name. Turn over to Mark 16. And we're going to look at verse 17. Deliverance in the name. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, deliverance. Amen. They shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Who has legal rights or authority to use the name of Jesus? And your author goes on to say, every born again believer. Hallelujah. They have the authority or the legal right. It's the legal right that you have to use the name of Jesus. Over in John 1 and 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power or authority, amen, to become the sons of God. What is authority? You know, we use that word and we think we know what it is. We know. We have some idea what authority is. But your author says that the Greek word for authority is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, which means legal right, delegated to exercise dominion and lordship. God has granted every born-again believer legal rights, a legal power to exercise authority and power in his name. Power, and I think I heard Apostle say something like this. He was talking about the anointing, amen, which is power, hallelujah. Is the divine ability to accomplish anything, and I put in parentheses, in line with God's word, amen. The divine ability, that's power, to accomplish anything in line with God's word. And the scripture for that, you can just write this one down. Acts 19, 13 through 16. And I think it may be in your book also. The name of Jesus has authority in three places. And we just read that, remember? We said, I remember when I said hell, it was said beneath the earth, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyway, three places. In Philippians 2 and 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those things in heaven and those things on earth and those things under the earth. Now, I've heard apostles share this. I don't know if all of you were here, but he was talking about that when the word refers to heaven, that there are three levels of heaven. The first level is what we see outside with our physical eyes. Amen. That's the first heaven. The second level is where the stars and the planets are found. And then the third level of heaven is where God lives. Not long ago, he was sharing with us, you know, it's that first level. It's that first level, you know, what we can see. I mean, can you imagine where the demons are? Amen. Hallelujah. And then he was just sharing how I can't remember exactly, but we have to go through all three. Amen. All three. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Look, she's saying, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. All three, you know, the first, the second, to get to the Holy of Holies. Amen. And I think he was talking about praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, yeah, that's what he was talking about. When we're praying in the Spirit, I mean, you have the ability to go through the first level, the second level, on up through the whole to the Holy of Holies, or the heaven where God is. And that's why it's so important. Because you see, in this first level, remember Daniel over in the book of Daniel, and Daniel prayed, and he didn't get his answer right away. And then finally, you know, the angel came and he said, from the first day you prayed, hallelujah, I heard you. Glory to God. He said, but I had to fight. Glory, hallelujah, I had to fight. I had to fight. Talking about principalities, powers, demons. You know, they're always trying to stop us from receiving what we have asked God for. But we have to use the name of Jesus. And we have to pray in the Holy Ghost so that we can bypass him and them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we just, once you prayed, you just have to know. He heard me. Hallelujah. Because that's what he told Daniel. From the first day you prayed, I heard you. Hallelujah. And he said, now I'm come. Hallelujah. Now I am come. And that's the way it's going to be with us. You know, he heard us. And he's going to answer us. Some of us, it's going to be some suddenly. It's going to be some immediately. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's going to be all to his glory and all to his honor, because we're learning how to pray effectively. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're talking about those three levels of heaven. Amen. And then we talk about here on earth. Glory to God. And then under the hurt. I mean, Jesus went to hell. Glory to God. Isn't that something? And they say, I can remember those, some of them old preachers talking about, and when he came out, he brought all of them old saints with him. He just said, come on here. I mean, I guess they had him in a waiting pattern until he got here. I don't know. But, you know, he took them back. Amen. And he spoiled principalities. He went down into hell for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he could say, it's finished. I have taken care of it all. Amen. Hallelujah. How can you develop your faith in the name of Jesus? Acts 3:16. I think we looked at that. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Your author says, I'm going to give you one better than this. Every believer has a blank check made out in his name. Make a list of the things you desire and ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Anything that is in line with his word, and these things shall be done for you. Amen. Amen. Years ago, I was with, you know, one of the other, well, we had, cell leaders back then. We would have home Bible studies. And we were teaching a lesson on prayer. And this leader, you know, she says, prayer is like driving a truck up to the storehouse of God, talking about in the name of Jesus, you're asking the Father. She said it's like driving a truck up to the storehouse of God, loading it up, and then bringing home the goods. Yeah. She's talking about effective prayer. Well, the more I began to think about that, I started asking, I say, well, how much you can bring home depends on how big is your truck. Amen. Some of us go to God with these Liberty trucks. You know, I mean, when my son was young, he had one of these little small trucks. You know, well, you can't get too much in that. Amen. And so I began to think, well, if I'm going to go to the storehouse of heaven and load up, I'm going to get me a big semi. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to come home with the goods. But that's the way prayer is. You know, prayer is going to the Father, knowing from the Word of God what is rightfully yours. Amen. And then asking the Father. You know, and God wants you to say, you know, he wants you to come to him. And I mean, he wants you to come to him and say, Lord, you said in your word, so and so and so and so and so. Now, I believe I received that, and I just thank you for it. Amen. Because you've seen it in the word. And you know, we have to get to the point that we understand, an apostle was saying that, who God is, who he really is, and that he is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. And what he says, he means. Amen. That's just the bottom line. He would not have said it if he didn't mean it. Amen. And when he gives us a promise, you know, in his word, all he wants us to do is believe it and receive it. It's as simple as that. Believe his promise. Believe his word. Believe, I mean, we're going to be talking about he wants to answer our prayer because of his integrity. You know, his reputation is on the line. It is on the line. So when we as Christians go to God and we ask God in the name of Jesus in accordance with his word, he wants to give it to us. He wants to give it to us. I mean, we got to let the world know. This is how the world is going to know that this God that we're serving is real. That it pays to be a Christian. Amen. You know, in the face of situations and circumstances, you know, we go to God in peace. You know, we're not rattled. Hallelujah. You know, we're not rattled. You know, my Father is with me, and he's gonna help me to handle it. Everything gonna be all right. You know, I tell y'all about peace, you know, about the peace of God found in Philippians chapter 4. It's nothing like it. It's nothing like it. I mean, the storm can be just raging, and it just look just so bad in the natural. And some people are going to think you're crazy. They will. We had a tragedy years ago in our family, and I'll never forget the folks said, My mother, she's gone home now to be with the Lord. They say she's in shock. She's really, really in shock. Now, God was with her. And she said, well, they say I'm in shock. And I tell you what, if the Lord got me in shock, I thank him for it. Because she was just, you know, she was raising her hand in the midst of all of this. And she was saying, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I mean, that keep the devil just confused. You know, and that's what we have to do. We have to get him to the point that he don't know where we coming from. You know, I don't care what you're going through. Our pastor, I learned this from him. You know, keep your head up, look straight, go ahead on. You know, yeah, it's all right. You know, crying is not going. It ain't gonna settle nothing. It ain't gonna settle nothing. Let me share this with y'all. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the crying is what reminded me. It's the crying is what reminded me. You know, this is in an account of David, amen? And they usually refer to as David at Ziglag, amen? 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, I'm going to have to read a little bit, but I'll try to read fast. Amen? I want y'all to see something. Now, we're talking about prayer. Now, I want y'all to see what David did. And it came to pass, verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, they had been out to battle. Amen? And the man told him, say, we don't want y'all to fight with us. Go home. So he got all of his men, and he was coming back home. And the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. So he cried. Amen. They have burned the city. They have taken the wives and the children. And David's two wives were taken captive, and their names, amen. One of them was a Jezreelitess, I could say that, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man, for his sons and for his daughters. But look at that. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, okay? You know, he's reminding himself of, Lord, what you have done for me before. I mean, I'm crying, but I'm not going to keep on crying. Amen? I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to remember what you've done for me before. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. That's a garment he put on to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. And David, look what he did. Inquired at the Lord. He's in prayer. And he's asking God, shall I pursue after this troop? I mean, all your wives and your children. And you're going to ask God, should I pursue? Think about that. Think about that. This is where we're going, y'all. This is where we're going. You know, because us, man, we would have hopped in the car, got us a gun. We wouldn't have asked God nothing. These people have come. They got my children and they got my wife. I'm gone. I'm gone after them. Amen. But here, David asked the Lord. You know, he must have been like them Hebrew boys. You know, now, you know, Lord, how we gonna do this? How, you know, are you gonna go get them by yourself? Or do you want me to participate in this? That's all he's saying. Do you want me to participate, or are you going to do it all by yourself? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. The Lord answered David. Amen. Amen. Pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Amen. Let me see where I can. Okay, go over to the 18th verse. Y'all can read the rest of this yourself because I saw 5 minutes. Verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Amen. Amen. And you see, what I saw when I was reading this, I mean, it's okay to cry a little while. Okay? He cried for a little while. Okay, then he began to encourage himself. He began to remind himself all the good things that God has. Oh, and this is what we have to do. We have to say, Lord, well, you brought me through this. And Lord, you brought me through that. Amen. And I believe that you're going to bring me through this also. Amen. And then in prayer, especially praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, how you want me to handle this? You see, don't ever assume nothing where God is concerned. You go to him and you ask him, now, how you want me to handle this? What's your will? What's your purpose? What's your plan? Show me how. Amen? And then he's going to answer you because he's showed right there. And the Lord answered David and say, pursue. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all read that. Y'all be blessed. We will finish this chapter next week. Amen. Glory to God.